The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So I'd like to introduce to you, well, to the studio of Freedom 106.5 FM, Mr. Jorrell Gordon. Good morning to you, sir. He is the president of the Prisons Officers Association. And let's get right into it. What is the positioning of prison officers at this point in time as it relates to the state of emergency?
Good morning to your listeners. So the prison officers continue to do their jobs, notwithstanding the challenges that they are currently facing. With the SOE, there's even more uncertainty into how it is we are conducting our day-to-day functions. The challenges that we currently face and have been facing for a number of decades, the fear is that it's only going to be exasperated. Especially, I think yesterday somebody said they would have held about 360 individuals, something like that. I do know that, I don't know if the public or the listenership will know, that they could only hold detainees for a marked period of time before, otherwise without charge. But beyond that, they would have to be released. The thing about it is that the prison has been suffering for a very long time as it relates to our infrastructure feeling old, decrepit institutions. It's no secret. I mean, I think over the years, a number of stories would have been done, videos. There was a video series done by Guardian Media with Rhea Rambley, where she came in behind the walls of the prison. If you go on YouTube, you could pull that back up and look at what we have to work with and where remandees, detainees, inmates are expected to be held. And now this is the backdrop of understanding that we are signatories to a number of international conventions, one that speaks to the treatment of the incarcerated person. And you know, I must be clear, we are not in any way against the state of emergency. We are citizens here too, and crime is a concern for us also. But the fact that we are so terribly under-resourced and the infrastructure within which we have to work is so compromised, our concern is both that the safety of our officers, of course, but certainly the safety of the public at large in understanding those challenges that we continue to face on a day-to-day basis.
Now, according to the release that you've sent out from the association, there is a mention of the facilities identified by the Detention of Persons Directions 2025 are all in various states of disrepair, and our members more times than not have having to use the minuscule salaries to purchase items and repair equipment to have operations continue. How has this affected the morale of prison officers? As you've just mentioned, that there is an influx of individuals coming into these circumstances.
No, well, the morale of officers have been at an all-time low for a very long time now. Challenges and things that we face didn't come up yesterday. They have been here for generations, 20, 30 years, even more, further than that. There's a culture of neglect. We see it as a culture of neglect with a clear misunderstanding of our roles and functions and how it is we support society in maintaining law and order. And so we find ourselves in this position where, condolences to the prosecutor, especially his wife and two children. But that is the reality that prison officers have had to live with for over two decades. We would have experienced more murders of prison officers than any other service in the country. And also, I dare say, when we check the records, in the Commonwealth, we had the highest rate of prison officers being murdered. And the thing about that is that that is why we are able to truly empathize with what is happening with the state prosecution, the DPP office, and the attorneys there. You see, when you are charged with a responsibility to do a job, especially a job in the criminal justice system, you ought, and we have been saying that for the longest while, you ought to be protected. You ought to be protected by the state. And it's something I said even last night, in that who is protecting the protectors?
Mm-hmm.
And if as a country, as a nation, we continue not to is in ensuring that those who are charged with the responsibility of seeking after our collective interests and securing us, they themselves not being safe or feeling safe, then it totally undermines any thrust that may be made to really put a handle on crime and criminality in Trinidad and Tobago.
Has there been any real discussion with the association in terms of prison officers' safety? Has there been discussions about a robust plan to ensure that safety?
Well, what I will tell you is this: we have had our ongoing matter where we took the state to court. And that matter has been going on in the courts for the last 10 years. So when you talk about discussions, a number of discussions have been had, a number of requests have been made. One of the requests that we made was for the implementation of and development of what we like to call the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, because we are that it's not only prison officers. We have prison officers, police officers, customs and immigration, people in the military. And we thought it prudent that the state should have acted in the way that is afforded to them in moving legislation and creating law that will speak specifically to a number of issues as it relates to the safety of these men and women who serve our country on a day-to-day basis. The thing about it is that, and what is sad, is that after 10 years in court, we are at the point now where, well, we have stated through our attorneys that we are not minded to give any further extensions. We would have issued a number of positions, but it's taken so long. So, you know, they have this thing where we talk about while the grass is growing, the cow is starving. So, you know, sometimes I find it, I don't know how to
articulate
it again, because if you shout, people don't hear. If you be aggressive, people don't hear. But then if you are calm, sometimes you feel that people still not hearing. And thing about it is that, and you know, it has to be said that I hope that the public of Trinidad and Tobago understands that the better able our law enforcement personnel, our prisons, our police, fire, court, customs, immigrate, these people who are charged with upholding the law, the state prosecution office, once we get to the point of understanding that we have to ensure that these people have all that is possible and required for them to operate efficiently and effectively, that is when we are going to see an impact, I believe, on this whole crime situation in Trinidad. When you look, just this morning, a friend of mine who lives abroad was asking, why so many police officers in plain clothes? Why they don't? And I had to tell him, I said, well, they don't have no uniform, and some of them don't have any uniform.
Mm. That was a big story at the time, and we haven't heard any follow-up on that since. But I wanted to ask, in terms of the current state, the SOE, was there any collaboration or discussion with the Prison Association leading up to the announcement of the SOE, and also taking into consideration, as you said, the limitations for space? There was this new facility that was opened during COVID. Is that being utilized as well?
Is that Claxton Bay?
I was thinking Santa Rosa. Probably there's a newer one.
No, Santa Rosa, or what we call the Eastern Correctional Rehabilitation Center, that, if you remember, that would have been opened in the last SOE. The last SOE, I think that would have been 2011.
Mm-hmm.
That property would have been purchased. Even then, if I could tell you that the powers that be, I don't know if it is by design or if they really are unaware or if they don't care. I don't want to go with the last part that they don't care.
Mm.
But we owe them that facility, $236 million for a warehouse. Up to this day, it doesn't have a ration room. There's no place to prepare meals. They have to be bussing meals in 3 times a day. There's no place to truly launder clothes and stuff for the inmates. There are a whole host of static security that is not of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Even cellular confinement, it's a whole host of issues. And it seems as, to me and to us at the Prison Officers Association, as if there is this belief that remandees, detainees, inmates, whatever you wish to call them, residents, they are not human. And I know that might seem like a strange statement, but the fact of the matter is that prison officers have to ensure that these people are fed, that they get some sort of recreation or what we call airing, that their medical needs are met, and all of this within the constraints of, we still have facilities where people are using a slop pail, what we call a bucket. That is what in the cell.
That doesn't sound healthy, neither encouraging. You know, it's a very thin line, because as you say, there will be individuals there in the community that said, well, they committed a crime. Why should they be entitled to such treatment, as in proper meals, et cetera, et cetera? You know, how do we bridge that gap, that idea? Because you did mention the convention. Probably you could go into some detail on that.
Yeah. What I will say is this. What is the purpose of prison? Used to be it was a retributive system. So nobody here care about you. We here care what you eat or how you eat or where you sleep, where you rest your head, what you defecate in, because the treatment formed part of the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Modern correctional philosophy and moving forward realized that what we were actually doing is failing society. And failing society in understanding that more than 90% of the individuals who find themselves behind bars are going to come back out into the same society. So what do we do as a service impacts greatly the type of individual that comes back out, mm-hmm, into society. And do we want somebody who is happy to contribute, or do we want somebody who themselves now are then seeking some sort of revenge or retribution because of the way that they were treated. So now we are at the point where we are saying, you don't come to prison for punishment. It's as punishment. So you lose some liberties. You can't pick up yourself and say you're going maracas and eat a bacon shark when you want. You can't take a stroll down the road and go by the bar or by the parlor. You can't cook what it is you want to eat today. So you're restricted in seeing your loved ones and your family. But in the midst of that, also it provides an opportunity to treat with those criminogenic factors that led to you offending against the law in the first place. If we continue to miss those opportunities, what we are actually doing, and this is something we have been saying, is all we are doing is warehousing people, and we are not being allowed to effectively and efficiently, notwithstanding all of the things that we continue to try to do with the limited resources, because we have our programs department, we have welfare. There are a lot of officers who are engaged utilizing whatever we may have to try and impact the lives of the offender. But we are at the point now where our remanded, those are the people who are waiting on their day in court for their matter to be determined. outstripping those who have been convicted. So more than 3/4 of the current population of incarcerated persons in Trinidad and Tobago are still awaiting their matters to be heard. And now, if we just add the SOE to that, and if the police, as we hope that they are, be as efficient as they would want to be and effective, then all of these matters are going to go to court. And then you talk about denying bail. So they have no access to bail. Where are we going to keep them? In the same 100-year-old...
From your comments, it seems that, you know, there was no real clear communication also in determining the current status of the prisons in Trinidad and Tobago at this point in time, if they can accommodate the, you said, 300 and something additional.
And that is just for whatever short marked period. But the thing
and we still have to go back or awaiting the discussion in Parliament as to whether it will be extended and if there are other changes to be made. So we're still waiting.
So the thing about that, what I would want to communicate, if the authorities, anybody there is listening, is that we are fully in support of anything to stop the spate of murders and robberies, home invasions in Trinidad and Tobago. Anybody who would say anything else, I think they are not a true patriot. However, what I hasten to add is that institutions like, or our institution, the Trinidad and Tobago Prison Service, would require tremendous resources to ensure that what the intent or the results that the government hoped to achieve are not only a stopgap, but more permanent, if you understand what I'm saying. And do that, because when you talk about a first facility, you have no alarm. The sewer system may be in a mess. Leaking roof, black mold.
All of these are issues that are currently being experienced by prison officers at this point in time. Black mold is not something that you'd want to,
with. At one of the facilities, you have an issue with water supply, a basic amenity. And that facility, there are no toilets in the cells. So it's slop pail. We have to develop a clear understanding of what do we want our society to look like? And I am saying, if you look at any developed country where they have seen successes, where the prisons are basically empty, when you look at it, it is because they would have rolled out a whole host of support systems. So you have conditional release orders, alternatives to incarceration, because not everybody who is arrested is somebody who may have committed a murder. It could have been child support. He didn't pay child support, or it may have been a traffic offense.
So this is a question that has come up several times in discussing the issues faced by prisons. How are persons who are brought into the system, how are they categorized and housed? Is it that this system has become so overwhelmed now that everybody's just clumped together? Is that what you're saying?
There is very limited space. And because there's limited space, there's infrastructure that is failing and deteriorating. You cannot classify people as you would want. So inadvertently, you are going to find yourself where this person is a remandee. They are innocent until proven guilty. We can make no assumptions about whether they are innocent or guilty. And so you may very well have a rapist, somebody who is allegedly a rapist or allegedly a gang leader or a gang member or committed a murder with somebody who may have done something that is not as severe or accused of doing something that was not as severe. And that is the reality that we face. So as long as the courts continue to find themselves in a position of having matters go on in the assizes or in the magistrate court for 5, 10, 15, 20
indefinitely.
Years.
Indefinitely, yeah.
We really are at a point in our history. I think it is a tipping point. But I also see that there's an opportunity in the for us to be able to truly manage in a different way this whole issue of how do we treat with and manage offenders in our Twin Island Republic. The Tobago prison. That facility is really the back of the police station. We don't have a purpose-built facility. When you look at modern correctional infrastructural design, the design of modern prisons is really an enabler, not only to hold the person in, but to ensure that you can deliver services. Medicine, the doctor visit for their family, roll out of different programs that will impact the life of the offender. But we could only do programs at a certain point with an individual who is simply being held on an adjourned matter.
Are there other services that are affected within the prison system that could or that should be providing these facilities that you're mentioning right now?
Repeat that question, please.
All right. So when I'm thinking of like social services, are there other services that come together to ensure that inmates receive the services that you're talking about? Is this being affected at this point in time?
You see, we have to have a clear distinction, inmates and remandees.
Okay.
Once you're dealing with somebody who has not been convicted, it's a whole different ballgame. But we tend to treat everybody the same because we have the same philosophy, the same buildings from 200 years ago, 30 years ago. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, because it directly affects those who are coming in specifically under the SOE's parameters. And as you say, seeing as there's not any clearly defined spaces, I can see how y'all are running into problems with facilitating their long or short incarceration.
So as you would have pointed to earlier, I know based on how the decision was made, how it was described to us, the public, of it being made, it was made because ultimately all of us are fed up.
Yeah.
All of us are fed up. Whether we like the Prime Minister or not, he was fed up. And he set certain things in motion to bring us to this particular point. What I'm saying is that the consultation is important, because as long as you are holding people and wanting to avoid what happened in 2011, you remember a lot of people came out and they sued the state after they were held and then released. Because the thing about it is that there is only so much time that you could hold someone for. And once you go beyond that, you realize that you find yourself in a legal pickle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what they want. But what I'm saying is that the prison service cannot be expected to be anywhere as efficient and effective as the people of Trinidad and Tobago deserve in treating with crime and criminality. Something I always say, the police are involved in crime suppression, not crime reduction. They are dealt with because of high visibility and that sort of thing. They now rob this stuff. The crime already happened. Prison is involved with crime reduction because we have taken that responsibility to now affect the mind of the offender so that they don't reoffend. When you talk about the recidivism rate.
Yes, I was just about to bring that up as well, because you did mention if it is that there is what is needed is a cohesive plan to pay attention to that, in reducing crime, criminality, and recidivism, as you mentioned in your press release.
Yeah, so if that is where true crime reduction would begin, and it's a collaborative thrust, one that requires the police, the judiciary, and the prison to work hand in hand in ensuring that we are able not to just arrest people, but arrest that drive that people have where they believe that doing crime or criminal acts is the only option available to them.
So moving to understanding that, I believe it is January 13th, we'll be going back to the Parliament to have this SOE discussed. What do you see as priority, if anything, to be changed to the SOE would be necessary to make sure that you can carry out your functions as prison officers?
I wouldn't say change the SOE.
I'm saying, if there are any conditions that have changed within the parameters of the current SOE and made, let's say it's extended and or other.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that the prison service has a responsibility that we cannot shirk. It's written in law. We can't refuse people. We can't say, well, we fall, you know.
It's not an in. It's funny, but not funny at the same time. But so,
So we can't turn these people away, long as they come with a warrant. Once we have that warrant, we have to hold them for whatever time prescribed by the court, right? So my hope is that some sort of consultation would be done quickly to assess what are those things that we require almost immediately to be able to impact our environment in a manner that would allow us to facilitate recognizing the safety of the detainee, the officers, and the public at large are at the forefront of those discussions. You can't tell me I have a facility, we're struggling for water. That not make sense. You don't have a generator. The generator is non-existent. You don't have vehicles. Your kitchen or the area where you have to prepare meals is still lacking certain basic stuff. It don't tell me that you're going to continue to expect prison officers to take monies out of their pocket to bring seasoning for food.
I was now going to ask, what are some of the things that you all spend money on to at least have some sort of functionality happening?
You would be amazed. When you look at the, I invite you to look at the allocation in the budget for prison. Go and look at it and you will see. Simple sanitation, there was nothing under sanitation. Imagine that, in a prison, there was nothing under sanitation.
I mean, we have to think of both male and female prisons.
Prisons. Mm-hmm. So the thing about it, and this is where I tell you, somebody always raising funds, they're having some sale for something. The superintendents on the station may get, I don't know, maybe $2,000. Mm-hmm. But let's use maximum security prison, which has, it's quickly approaching 2,000 inmates, both remanded and convicted. And let's add to that 2,000, let's say 300 or so staff, both civilian and uniformed staff, on that compound. 2,300 souls, and water is an issue. Which is a sanitation, nothing for sanitation. Some of the security implements, no alarm in the facility.
That's not something the public would want to hear, but it is a reality that you're facing.
And then I know we will have the like I saw somebody made a statement, but is the officers bringing the phones, and that is why the place like that. Respectfully, there is no job that is being done now where all of the participants, all of the employees are doing what they're supposed to do. Nowhere. It doesn't exist. There's always somebody who is doing some foolishness and stupidness. And the Prison Officers Association has always said that we do not in any way support trafficking or anything of that matter when it comes to, in fact, we will if we can lock you up, we lock you up. But the fact of the matter, that is the minority. And for a large part, you have prison officers, male and female, engaging an environment that is hostile, that is collapsing around them, and they are using their own limited resources to prop it up at the end of the day. And for us at the Prison Officers Association, we are at our wits' end where that is concerned. And we could only hope and we wish that with this SOE, we see it as an opportunity in the chaos. And the opportunity here is so for them to finally take the sort of look that they should have at the prisons and give us what we need to be able to serve the people of Trinidad and Tobago with excellence. That is what we want.
Well, I see that there were some calls coming in while we were speaking at Freedom 106.5 FM. The number 625-2257 for those who would have any questions or comments on the topic. If you're just joining us here, we are discussing with the president of the Prison Officers Association, and we are discussing the resources that are available to them as we are currently under our state of emergency, still awaiting if it's going to be extended and other parameters that are or may not be changed. Hello, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Gordon.
Morning, sir.
I have a question for you. Would you say that the prison service are adequately staffed, both in Trinidad and Tobago, to carry all their functions properly? Thank you.
Thank you so much for the question. Did you hear?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We are not adequately staffed. However, you know, if you ask certain officials, they will tell you they do what I call simple maths. So they will say, okay, we have just about 3,000, almost 3,500 inmates, and it have about 3,000 officers. So it's like 1 to 1.5 or some kind of weird maths they just do.
Ratio.
But that is not how it works. Mm-hmm. You have for there's only one batch of officers on at any particular point of time. Not everybody is on. We work in shift. And then you have to take into consideration those officers who may be on vacation leave, who may be on sick leave, the fact that we have people retiring, we have people resigning positions every day.
But there was a recruitment drive the other day, not so? What was the outcome of that?
I'm glad you asked that. So I think we were around 9,000 to 10,000 people would have been processed. Much more than that would have been processed. But the thing about it is that the Trinidad and Tobago Prison Service is not wholly and solely responsible for the recruitment process. We would have done that particular part. The names would now be at the Public Service Commission, who will have to set the Public Service Commission exam, the entrance exam.
Mm-hmm.
When they do that exam, they will then give us back the results, how many, how much people, and then we will have to do our rounds of interviews.
Wow.
We have a merit list. And then from that merit list, we will determine how many people, but it's not, we can't just say we go in and bring in 300 people. We have to get approvals because remember those people have to be paid.
Vetted as well. Yes.
Us state. So you might reach at that point and then the state say, we don't have any money to train anybody. So the thing about it is that we have been losing people. We lost about 250 or so officers last year. And when I say loss, that is through retirement, resignation, MU, and death. People who would have passed away in active service. Mm-hmm. And this year, just on retirement alone, we're looking at probably just about 260 officers we're going to lose again. Mm-hmm. So if we were to just add that up and check when was the last time we would have had a batch of officers training, I could answer the caller and say that no, we do not have the sort of staffing levels required to be as efficient as we would want to be.
Mr. Gordon, I will admit hearing this news at this point in time does not make me feel too comfortable in terms of how we are really going to deal with the influx as the situation with the SOE exists right now. But we are coming close to 10 o'clock and I have to thank you so much for joining us. And probably another time we can get further into what would be the next step for the prison officers association in relation to how the SOE will continue. Any last comments or thoughts on that?
What I'll say is don't be worried too much. The prison service and prison officers, I don't know if it's good or bad, but for a very long time have been making do with little to nothing. Certainly do take our responsibilities very, very serious when it comes to public safety, which is one of our key focus as to why it is we do what we do on a day-to-day basis. But we need the support. And I could only hope that this opportunity, there is opportunity in the chaos that in around us. And we would want to certainly utilize that opportunity, not only for our benefit, but for ultimately for the benefit of every citizen of this great Twin Island Republic called Trinidad and Tobago.
Mr. Gordon, thank you so much for joining us here at Freedom 106.5 FM, and we will speak again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.